Well, it's finally here. The Gilmore International Keyboard Festival starts this week. Two of the most active pianists participating in the festival are my guests tonight on WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. Hi, I'm Kara Lawrence. Glad you could come along and meet the Anderson Rowe Piano Duo. Yesterday, when I spoke with Greg Anderson and Elizabeth Rowe, they were about to embark upon a series of concerts in schools and in concert halls all across West Michigan, some 14 concerts in all for the Gilmore Festival. Tonight, they're in Vicksburg at the Performing Arts Center. Tomorrow, they'll appear at 7 p.m. in Allegan at the Allegan Performing Arts Center. Friday night at 7 at Harper Creek High School, Battle Creek. And Monday, you can see them at 7 p.m. at Portage Northern High School in Portage. The Anderson Rowe Piano Duo are being presented as educational concerts open to all people of all ages, and all of the performances are free. TheGilmore.org has full information. Anderson and Rowe have established a reputation for adrenaline-filled performances, for writing their own compositions and arrangements, and for shooting music videos. They say their aim is nothing less than to make classical music a relevant and powerful force around the world. Greg says the duo is founded on friendship.
We met 14 years ago now, and we've been playing together for 11 and a half years, but we became wonderfully good friends, and as musicians know, friends who make music try and find ways to make music together, and that's what we did, and it just happened to be two pianos. Could have been any instrumentation, but in this case it was two pianos. We had so much fun, and then yes, we wanted more repertoire at our disposal. That would suit our temperament and suit the concert stage. And so we started to write some of our own to give us even more to work with. But it's been a joy to be able to make a career out of just kind of fooling around on stage with a best friend.
So we were classmates at the Juilliard School in New York City. And we met during our first week at school during freshman orientation. We were actually assigned to the same floor in the dormitory. And we met, quickly became friends, and at Juilliard, it's a very intensive schedule. The pianists have a lot of classes together, so we shared a lot of the same courses. We grew to respect each other as pianists, and early on, we actually accompanied each other for concerti, for our lessons, or for studio class, and we also got to know each other in terms of our musical tastes and our personal mission. And it started to crystallize that we wanted the same things out of our musical lives, and that is to make classical piano music a relevant and powerful force in society. And so I think that underlying mission has shaped so much of what we do. When we were juniors at school, we finally ended up putting a recital on together, ostensibly for chamber music credit, but also because we wanted to have more time together. And it turned out to be this wonderful serendipitous event. Our first recital was such a blast, and it contained many of the characteristics that define our concerts these days, and, you know, including eclectic programming. You know, we had like costume changes, and we sort of really personalized the pieces and ended with this kind of extravagant version of Carnival of the Animals that included original narration and our friends in an ensemble accompanying us on stage. So our teachers were there, and our friends, and everyone went wild. And we also had such an amazing time on stage, and that just, it kind of opened our eyes to what was possible in this genre. And it wasn't something that we it wasn't this contrived, premeditated plan to become a duo. It really arose out of something organic. And as Greg said, it was the friendship, but also this shared musical ethos.
Not every senior recital is a blast. A lot of them tend to be just, oh, I have to get through this.
Right. Requirements. Yes. Yeah.
Kind of thing. Well, it sounds like you clicked at school, but was there anything in either of your backgrounds that would have led you to assume that? Did you grow up in similar fashions, or did you, were you from the
both
same
from
area?
The Midwest? Liz is from Chicago, and I'm from Minnesota, northeast of St. Paul, and we have that in common. But it really is just, you know, some people just click together and get along. We're both middle children, so we're both the pacifiers in our family.
But I almost think it's more the kind of individual qualities and quirks that make the duo, that give it its frisson. You know, it's something in which a lot of duos are, you know, sibling duos or these married couples, and there's kind of, they arrive at this, I don't know, like a very like kind of homogenized approach. And it's true, we aim for unity, but it's in the end, it's the kind of the contrast and the juxtaposition of our different personalities and tastes that really kind of create the electricity and
spark
and
chemistry. Yeah.
Huh. So it doesn't have to sound like one person at one giant piano. You're saying it is
no,
really, you can separate the instruments. You can really.
We aim to have a very dynamic musical conversation mid-performance, and we love spontaneity, so we try not to plan too much in our interpretations or in our performances so that we can have that electricity arrive on stage, and we can base our performance on the energy in the room and the acoustics and our mental state that day and our audience's mental state, and it creates something very in the moment, which we love.
Well, the good news is Anderson and Rowe are here for a good part of the Gilmore Festival. There are multiple opportunities to see you in evening concerts in different areas of West Michigan. I encourage listeners to look at the website, thegilmore.org, if they'd like to find out more. There's lots more to see at andersonrowe.com as well. These are educational concerts open to people of all ages, and they're free. So there's really nothing to lose and a lot to gain. So we might have gotten to a point where it might be nice to take a short break for some music. I had, of course, something picked out, but I think we'll look at something from your newest recording,
brand
which you brought
new
in
album,
today.
Just out like a month ago. Mm-hmm. We're very excited about it.
Well, give me a little introduction to
sure.
this project.
It's called An Amadeus Affair, and it's... details our love affair with Mozart's music, as well as other composers' love affair with his music, as well as Mozart's own sort of torrid, romantic music from some of his operas. So there's a whole variety of Mozart-based pieces that just are filled with joy and romance and scandal and intrigue. It's all on there. It just shows Mozart is a very dynamic, crazy sort of man.
Well, you have these two great pianists that came later, Franz Liszt and Ferruccio Busoni.
Absolutely.
Who was just a crazy man on the piano, yes?
Oh, yeah.
This technique.
Yeah,
staggering,
were.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start with the first track. This is how this whole recording opens, An Amadeus Affair. Here's the Duetto Concertante by Ferruccio Busoni, based on a piano concerto.
That's right.
Kirkel 459. I should know which one that is, but I don't.
You'll find out.
Music played by Anderson and Rowe, the dynamic piano duo appearing multiple times at the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival this week and next. They're my guests tonight on WMUK's Let's Hear It, and we just listened to the first track of their brand new CD, An Amadeus Affair. That was the Duetto Concertante, arranged for piano duo by Ferruccio Busoni and based on Mozart's piano concerto, Kirkel 459. Greg Anderson and Elizabeth Rowe are very well-traveled, as I learned during our interview.
We travel the world. We play internationally quite a bit, as well as a lot stateside. Probably are doing around 80 to 100 concerts a year. And like upcoming, we're playing, I have a tour in Taiwan and then in Korea. And then we come back to the U.S. for a week and go back to Singapore, then London, then a concert in L.A., then Chicago, Grand Tetons, and China, then back to the U.S. We get a lot of air miles.
Europe in the fall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And yeah, Europe in the fall. Mm-hmm. But
well, how do you practice?
We don't.
Traveling.
Who needs to practice?
Things can fall apart under strange conditions, you know, where like all of a sudden you're like, oh, my goodness, I didn't know I've forgotten that.
We the airlines are the bane of our existence as well as what makes our career possible. Yesterday I missed our connection, but we made it here safe and sound anyway. So,
but the benefit of traveling together is not only do we have a great time and you know we have a traveling companion because traveling can be quite grueling, but also we spend so much of that time discussing creative projects. Mm-hmm. One of the main aspects of our career are these music videos that we make. And a lot of the concepts and ideas for these videos happen on tour when we're on planes.
In a delirious state.
Yes. And it's so exciting because someone will have an idea and then the other one will respond. And we're constantly sparking these crazy and imaginative just thoughts and ideas, and it's so much fun to have a partner in crime, you know, not only in a sort of personal leisure level but also creatively.
You have a website where people can have a look at some of these fantastic videos, and that is simply andersonrowe.com, and it's AndersonRoe.com. And of course, you can find out more about their appearances at the Gilmore at thegilmore.org. Aren't there any issues with too much time together?
I mean, well, thankfully, we are not a romantic couple and we are not married. Many people ask that question.
Oh,
and
I'm sure.
And we think that is one of the keys to our success. If we were, then yes, maybe it would be too much time. But as it is, we're on the road probably two-thirds of the year, and we do have a third of the year not together. And we have our own, you know, hotel rooms wherever we go, and
it's private time. That is private space. Mm-hmm.
And we have separate projects and, separate lives, like socially sometimes. And at other times, it's, you know, we have shared friends and we both love to eat.
Oh, my goodness.
And
yes.
So, you know, we have a lot of things in common, too, which also makes traveling so much fun.
I wonder if the parallel that's in my mind might make sense to you. And that's of the, I watched the Olympics this last February, and the skating teams, you know, they're often, you see them as a unit and you kind of assume that they're often just professional partners and not romantic partners. And I thought that might be a similar.
Like Charlie White and Meryl Davis. Right?
Yeah.
Everyone thought that they were together.
They work together so well.
Right. They have this chemistry.
But it's so wonderful because it's like when we're on stage with that friendship as the base and not the romantic or sibling sort of pairing, we can be thespians. We can be whoever we want, and we can be romantically involved suddenly on stage, or we can be mortal enemies, depending on the music we're playing, and or just best friends. We can take on different roles that the music demands of us quite freely as friends. It's like we're just a blank slate.
Well, yeah, let's talk about the music a little more, the music that brings you together. And specifically, I really am curious about how you come up with your own arrangements. For example, the Bizet arrangement on the album When Words Fade is not typical in any sense. the typical Bizet arrangement from Carmen has starts off very flashy, might have a little bit of the slow stuff in the middle, and then ends extremely flashy. And this has great moodiness to it. I thought you had a really great take on it.
Yeah, we took a kind of non-linear approach to that one.
Yeah, ultimately we wanted to communicate the tragedy of it. So we still, without sort of the horrific, you know, like death.
You're making a stabbing motion.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. We want the no stabbing, but still the emotional tragedy of it. So we do try and have an emotional climax. We still give it a bang at the end, but and more of a joyous bang. But I think when we started with that, I asked Liz, well, what do we want this to be about? And she said, it's got to be sexy.
Did I say that? I don't remember saying that.
We definitely did.
So that's
a paraphrase. I remember when we got to the habanero, we worked hard not to do it purely for show, but to have a mood, as you said, and convey something a little emotionally dangerous.
Which you carried through on the entire program, the entire album, has more drama than many other programs that are put together. Really.
Yeah, I think both of us are, we like the intensity and we like the drama, and we're very passionate people and musicians. So we're drawn to explore the vast range of the human experience. So in our albums and also in our concerts, we want to pay tribute to the comedic, light, joyous sides of life, but also the tragedy, the profundity, the more serious and just, you know, heart-rending parts of human existence. And that, there's such a rich amount of music out there, and we feel almost as if we're painters with our palette, and we can just, you know,
paint the variety of life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And pay tribute to all of that.
And you're very good at releasing that in just the right quantities. It's almost like a coiled emotion that stays in, and you're not afraid of being pianissimo, ultra pianissimo, and making the listener start coming towards you.
And then smacking them in the
face.
And
then, then you've got two pianos to deal with there.
Yeah, contrasts, you know.
It's a little manic sometimes.
Well, I've been teasing folks with the Billie Jean arrangement all hour. So give me a little intro to this special arrangement you made.
We like to think of the arrangement as something like a Picasso painting of a face, which has been deconstructed, and the elements of the face are all out of order. There's an eye at the top and another eye at the bottom and a nose to the side and a mouth that just kind of goes amongst it all. And Picasso would do that because he was trying to bring out facets of the person's personality or just of their face. Similarly, we've deconstructed Billie Jean such that sometimes it's elongated or sped up. It's in different places, or motives are just kind of repeated over and over again in small places. It's like a really violent avant-garde remix. And we did that because we wanted to bring out facets of the original, namely the music video, which is very sinister. And just accentuate, in fact, take to the hilt Michael Jackson's famous use of rhythm and just like sharp accented rhythm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Billie Jean is a song to which he debuted the moonwalk. So there's a dance element that's very important.
There's an historical element.
Yeah. I mean, such an iconic song.
Not so danceable anymore because we just took those ideas as far as we could go.
How long did it take you, an afternoon to come together with this?
Oh, no. I mean, most of the pieces, we don't improvise them. We talk about big ideas and then I compose them in the shower or while running. And then I write it down, bring it to Liz, and then we work it out.
At the piano.
Right,
but that
right.
is a good several weeks of just physical labor getting it onto the page.
Anderson and Rowe are in concert tonight at 7 p.m. at Woods Lake Elementary, and you can find out more on thegilmore.org. We heard Anderson and Rose take on Billie Jean, the Michael Jackson hit. It's off their album, When Words Fade. Greg Anderson and Elizabeth Rowe recently joined me at WMUK to talk about their multiple Gilmore Festival appearances. My next question was for Adam Shoemaker, Director of Education for the Gilmore. I wanted to know how he'd found this incredible piano duo.
Well, I think I found their manager almost a year ago. Maybe it was a year ago. I can't even remember. But with the family concerts, it's always hard to find an artist that is ready to engage an audience that might not be our typical audience. And so I'm always searching. Like, even festival season, not festival season, I'm always looking out for those artists who are doing something exceptional and different. I want to use the word accessible, but, you know, sometimes it's dumbed down. I mean, this is a high level of artistry, but in a way, listening to Greg this morning, he talking about drama and theatrics, and these are the things that bring people in. And not every artist we bring to the Gilmore can bring that at such a communicative level, especially for families. So when I ran into Anderson and Rowe, I was like, oh, these are the guys. So I kept looking at more videos. The videos were great, by the way. I mean, because they have just tons of YouTube videos, and they're all out there, and they're just so interesting and dynamic. And so that was a lot of fun just to see that natural promo material in there. And also see how they performed and interacted. So when I found them and got a hold of their manager, it was just a natural fit. And I still feel privileged to have them here in Kalamazoo doing our family concerts.
Yeah, I think that folks who are really focusing in on the music this hour and listening to these tracks are fully realize this is a top-notch team in any sort of venue, so you may end up having a few of us gray hairs in the audience tonight as well to hear Anderson and Rowe, because you're a phenomenal team, and your projects are very exciting. How much idea do you have of what you're going to do tonight and for Gilmore audiences? You'll have to be somewhat flexible, I would think.
Yeah, we like flexibility, and we like being open to the venue and to the people in our audience. And our primary objective is to bring the music to vivid life and to pay tribute to the diversity of music that's out there. I would say that through our mission in making music relevant, classical music relevant to people and audiences of our time, that advocacy inevitably ends up being one of our one of our purposes as a piano duo, and that's to bring this great versatile music to audiences from all backgrounds, of all ages, and to showing people that even pieces that are written 200 years ago can still be just as surprising and relatable and powerful as they were when they were originally composed. And so we're going to play some of our very favorite pieces of music, I think all of which we've arranged.
Yeah, right? And yeah, the entirety for the concerts this week.
And pieces that cross genres. So, you know, we'll have Billie Jean, but we'll also have more ostensibly classical pieces as well. So it's just bringing people to the realization that music can sometimes be put into certain categories or genres, but ultimately it's all about that communicative element of music, that it touches upon, all different facets of life, and that people like to put them into different, this is pop, or this is jazz, or, this is classical, and we love all of those styles, and for us, it just matters if it's good music. Yeah, and if it moves you and provokes you and entertains you and transforms you, then it's all, such a significant thing,
right,
to witness.
The best artists play what they love, and those categorizations don't mean anything anymore.
Exactly.
That's how it seems to happen. Mm-hmm. would you be publishing your arrangements at all for other aspiring piano duos?
So most of our music is available on our website for sale, published by Awkward Fermata Press. And then I would say about a half dozen or more Of our pieces are also published by Alfred Music Publishing, which is a big publishing company. So it's available in stores and also online.
What's your favorite way to practice? Do you have a special space in New York?
We practice in concert halls. Not necessarily on stage, but as we prepare for, right. As we rehearse beforehand, just because there's usually not enough time to just devote exclusively to rehearsing. But I have two grand pianos at home.
You had a good, you know, 5-6 year span of studenthood and that's, such yeah, of intensive right. practice. So you learn all the shorthand that you need to.
Well, and we fold in new pieces as you know one at a time versus an entirely new program, so we can prepare it in advance, just the one piece, rather than being daunted by everything else. But usually, we're so fixated on creating these insane music videos that we. We just forget about anything else.
Yeah, the past year, a big chunk of our time amidst our touring and our concerts was creating this 10-part music video of The Rite of Spring in honor of the piece's centennial. And it was an incredibly rigorous and just ambitious
insane
project. It basically felt like we were on a film shoot, and we would go to the desert and go to the Pacific Ocean and
we had bugs crawling
things
over our hands to express some of the decay in the music. We were working with dancers who were dancing all around us.
There's fire.
We burned a piano while we were playing it. We also drowned in the ocean with the piano. And to add for any of those, take note, don't put a piano in the ocean because waves push the thing around in ways you can't quite predict.
Yes, it injured Greg, but we had to go to the emergency room. But it was to bring the that revolutionary spirit of the piece to life, and that's what we do with all of our videos, is to take what's at the core of the piece and try to visually represent it. And it's been such an incredible journey making these videos, in addition to making our arrangements and performing on stage.
That is something that must get you a lot of feedback from young artists.
Yeah.
Well, it does. It YouTube is so wonderful because anyone anywhere in the world, except for China, I believe, can actually watch these videos. And actually, we have them available in China as well. So anyone can watch these videos. And what will happen is somebody's friend recommends a video to someone, and they watch it, or they watch the beginning, and they're hooked, and suddenly they've opened up a whole new door that was never available to them before, to the world of classical music, and they get very excited. And we have a lot of young people at our concerts who have seen these videos and haven't been exposed to classical piano music previously, but the videos do put it in a very immediately relatable way, this music, and they will get very, very excited and come to our concerts. And then they'll start coming to other concerts because they've been introduced to such an exciting world that they didn't know existed.
Well, and one of the things you're still keeping alive is the fact that before people got together to play video games together, they could often play music together. You'd have a certain ease of sight reading and a knowledge of your instrument. You could just like, well, let's try some of this new thing by so-and-so, this Haydn or whatever, and mm-hmm. play together. And that is something that you show is possible today, too.
Like, absolutely. To make this a communal experience.
And that being a pianist isn't necessarily being a solo pianist. You can have a partner and go through things together and go back and forth and have that dynamic.
It's been so moving to get emails and messages on our Facebook page and, you know, from people in South America and, like,
everywhere.
Australia and, you know, and Europe. And it's just people, I think they respond so enthusiastically to our endeavors. And it means the world to us because it's what keeps us motivated and keeps us inspired to share our art and our passion with the world.
Well, now that I've taken us straight into how wonderful it is to be a duo, I do want to know about your solo endeavors as well.
Yes.
And you were telling me during the music, Elizabeth, that you have a very exciting project of solo concertos with the London Symphony Orchestra.
Yes, the release date is to be determined, but I've just recorded the Britten and Barber piano concertos with the LSO, and it was a dream come true. And those two concertos are very meaningful in my life, and to put them to record was a poignant experience. And of course, the London Symphony is one of the most extraordinary orchestras in the world. So it was just mind-blowing.
I've heard it. It is. The recording's mind-blowing, too.
Well, and you won't find a more appreciative audience for Benjamin Britten than these days, where his centenary was last year.
Yeah, that's right.
We're all sort of getting a lot more used to his vocabulary.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And we can take even more from
exactly.
That.
Yeah, that work, the piano concerto, was quite early in his output, but it bears his signature.
I kind of like his early stuff a lot.
Yeah, it's very spirited and dynamic, and he is innovative, and you know, maybe not the most you know, kind of bold-faced font like some of the other composers, where they're like, I am writing in a totally new language, and yet there's a kind of organic quality to his music, and there's that energy, you know, and also the kind of that mass appeal, you know, like he was able to take kind of material and turn it into something that's not just like esoteric. You know, there's contemporary composers where it's primarily, you know, like, oh, I need to be very innovative. And so, yeah.
It's not just head scratching.
Yeah.
You feel.
Right. Yeah, it's powerful.
Awesome. And solo projects for you, Greg?
I just released a solo album featuring Rachmaninoff's first piano sonata, as well as a Bach French suite, kind of a heaven and hell juxtaposition.
Well, that's actually very interesting. I love where those two don't and do overlap.
Exactly. But I was going to say, I think that Kara should, I think based on everything you've been saying, there's a piece that we should play for you from our new album, The Mozart, based on Mozart's Rondo alla Turca that I think you would absolutely love.
I saw the title on the disc and I queued it up already.
Oh, what, you're kidding me.
Like it says
synchronicity.
Ragtime alla Turca. It's perfect. It is. Well, finally, last thoughts from all of you on being here for the Gilmore Week.
It's an honor to be part of this incredible festival. And we are so excited.
Legendary festival.
Yeah, legendary.
The world.
And we really were excited to meet all the audiences throughout the community and hopefully inspire them with our music.
Yeah, it's going to be a party.
And Adam, any last thoughts from you?
Oh, I think, you know, I'm really excited to see how the week goes. I know it will be inspiring for me, and I hope that a lot of people take the opportunity to choose from one of the 14 concerts available. We're doing a lot of in-school stuff for the students at the locations, and then coming back that evening and doing it for the community. So please check out all of the locations. I do want to mention the Oshima Branch Library for... I'm kind of, you know, silently advertising this for tots and little ones so they can experience classical piano. Yeah.
When is the Oshima Public Library?
That's Saturday, 10:30 and 1.
Two
kind
shows.
Okay. Two shows kind of to split apart nap time, so. But, come on out for any performance. They're going to be incredible.
All right. Adam Shoemaker is Director of Education at the Gilmore, and Anderson and Rowe are the wonderful piano duo appearing multiple times during the next week or more here at the Gilmore Festival. I encourage listeners to look for the schedule right now online at thegilmore.org and check out andersonrowe.com while we listen to Ragtime alla Turca. Thank you.